On an island in the upper Mississippi River, a stand of cottonwood trees is silhouetted against a gray sky. Their bare branches are festooned with big nests made of twigs and branches. Next to the nests, like sentinels at the castle gate, stand great blue herons. These birds are 4 feet tall. More than 100 of them are claiming their domain in these trees just upriver from downtown Minneapolis. When one takes off and glides away, its 6-foot wingspan dwarfs the ducks and songbirds sharing the island. It's hard to tell the males from the females because they're the same blue and gray. Birder Sharon Steitler is leading me on a tour of this rookery.
The males arrive first, and they kind of work out who's going to take which nest. And it's actually kind of funny. Like, the nest where you see just one bird standing up, like this guy out here on the end, that is most likely a male. So he's hanging out there, and the reason why he's hanging out there is because the other males who are still waiting to attract a female could come by and steal sticks out of his nest to make his nest look better.
On some nests, you can see females already sitting on pale blue eggs the size of small mangoes. But Steitler says herons are not always good parents.
If the chick falls out of the nest and lands on the ground, that chick is toast. The parents will not continue feeding it. And oftentimes you'll see turkey vultures hanging out at rookeries. And what they're doing is they're waiting for the young to fall and starve, and then they have a whole bunch of food.
But at least on this island, there won't be many predators like coyotes or foxes. These birds were once threatened by humans. Their cousins, the egrets, were hunted for their beautiful white feathers, and both suffered disastrous population loss until the pesticide DDT was banned. Now you can see them in streams and lakes all over. They breed in Canada and the upper Midwest. They spend their winters wherever they can find food. Herons literally stalk their prey.
They have a lot of patience, and they just stare at one spot for a long time, and then they jab down and grab the fish. Their beak is shaped kind of like a pair of really super sharp chopsticks. And it's fun sometimes to watch them with... Sometimes they'll have these massively huge fish, and you think, how in the heck are you going to swallow that thing? And they kind of juggle it around, and especially if they have it perpendicular with their beak, they have to kind of jostle it around, and the fish is kind of wiggling. And then eventually they get it just right, so it's straight in line with the bill. And you can just watch this huge thing slide down that long, slender neck.
Sharon Steitler is a part-time naturalist with the National Park Service, and she writes a blog called birdchick.com. Today, the herons are pretty quiet, but Steitler has a BlackBerry loaded with their sounds, including the prehistoric squawk they make when they're startled. And Steitler says it can sound really strange when the young are clattering for food. After the young are raised, at least the ones that survive, the herons will stay here on the river until it freezes over and they can't fish anymore. Steitler says the birds decamp all at once.
One day we have great blue herons, and the next day they're gone, and they migrate at night.
They tuck back their long necks when they fly, forming an S shape and hiding their true length. Steitler says the recovery of great blue herons, along with pelicans, eagles, and other birds near the top of the food chain, is a sign of a healthier ecosystem. For the Environment Report, I'm Stephanie Hemphill.